welcome to the Money Lab Live Podcast, episode number 75. The dang, money goes fast, money story. All right, welcome back to another live broadcast of the Money Lab Podcast from the Six Figure Academy. I am your host, Wei Hong, from the Six Figure Academy. Now, this is the podcast where we give you tips, strategies, and interviews with other entrepreneurs on how to create that ultimate six-figure entrepreneur lifestyle, free of bad money stories, money anxiety, and stress, so that you can monetize your dreams and execute your genius. Now, if you haven't already downloaded our free ebook, From Money Anxiety to Six-Figure Mastery, make sure you go to go.thesixfigureacademy.com and get it there. It's the perfect complement to all the things we discuss on this show, and quite frankly, we've been told it could change your life. Now, if you are joining us live today and you are not on YouTube Live to take in this beautiful guest that I have in front of me, make sure you get on Spreaker.com or download the Spreaker app on your mobile device and search for the hashtag the Money Lab, so that you can join us in the chat room and ask questions, interact with us and our guest, or even request a specific topic to discuss that will help support you in your quest for that ideal six-figure lifestyle. Now, while you're there, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and then you can catch us every week. Now, for all other ways to find us, go to thesixfigureacademy.com/radio for all the details. Now, if there's something that you love about what you hear on this episode today, and I'm so excited because I can almost practically guarantee that you will, and you know that what you hear could help someone you care about, remember, sharing is caring. Share the show to that person. As you can tell, I'm really excited about the guest we have today, not only because of her really cool, fun, unique money story that she brings to the table, but what she's going to be able to share with you. For those of you who are entrepreneurs, and I'm a big fan because that's how I started. I was a student of hers for one of her programs. She's going to be talking about communicating your value, creating high ticket offer, charging what you're worth, or more so not so what you're worth, but what you should be charging. And if we have time, we'll share a little bit how she helps other businesses 5X their business. So let me tell you a little bit about this guest that we have today. Her name is Samantha Hartley of Enlightened Marketing. She's the founder of Enlightened Marketing, and she works with overwhelmed consultants and experts who are too busy to grow and under-earning relative to their value. Okay, now when I'm talking about growth, I'm talking about the business. They're not too busy to grow physically because they can always do that on their own. Nature does that for them. Now, she helps them actually double and sometimes quintuple their business without exhaustion by attracting perfect clients and making 100K plus offers. As a result, they become more joyful and business owners. And before starting this business, her background, Samantha worked in international marketing for the Coca-Cola company in Russia and its Atlanta headquarters. So she's got some clout going on there, and she got some good experience working with the big wigs. She now currently lives in Martha's Vineyard and with her husband and her two big dogs and the cat that rules them all, which she shared a little bit about earlier to make sure that she doesn't come on the show. Welcome to the show, Samantha. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited about what you have to share.
Thanks for having me, and thanks so much for covering this topic. I think it's a critical topic. I think the more we can talk about money with entrepreneurs, the more we demystify it and make it put it into our comfort zone. So I really appreciate the work that you do.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's such a, I mean, you and I have met a couple times or one time or whatever, and I don't remember, is it one time or two times? Anyway, so when you do your trips out to California and stuff like that, I always try to make sure that I can clear out my schedule so we can at least grab coffee and catch up. But, you know, one of the big things that, you know, I remember sharing with you is that what I found in my journey is that money is kind of like the keys to the kingdom. I mean, we live in a capitalistic world. We were born in this era of capitalism. And if we are not willing to play the game, it just makes it a little bit tough, right, as entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and I really like thinking of it as playing a game, because I think that people get too emotionally invested in it. And of course, there are plenty of games where you want to win, and that you do feel emotionally invested about your team and things like that. But I feel like just play the game. It's just a game. It's just how the game is played. Like, don't take it too seriously. Don't, it's not about you. Right. It's about the game. And so I try to keep it as light as possible, because we do work through a lot of heavy stuff when we're working through money stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, when we start to realize that money is just like any other tool we have out there, be it Facebook or, you know, coaches and mentors that we hire, money is just like another one of those tools, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of money, let's get this piece out of the way so we can talk about all that you do. Let's talk about your money story, because that's really what this, you know, the Money Lab's all about. It's all about people's money stories. And so that way we can help maybe inspire people to say, whoa, she went through that. And despite that, she can still create the level of success, monumental success, being able to live where you live and do what you have, the life that you have, and help so many others. What is the money story that you grew up with that, you know, both supported you and maybe at times in your journey in your career kind of gotten away?
I mean, I think if I look back at the beliefs, you know, we're always a combination of our parents' beliefs, or almost always. And so if I look back at the belief that kind of guided my family, we didn't have a lot of money, but there was always a sense of, and not even just a sense, but my mom would like overtly say, you know, I don't know how we do it, but there's always just enough. And I feel like on the one hand, a lot of people can, you can hear that as I do and think, oh, we have faith that we'll always be provided for and there will always be something for us.
Right.
But the problem for me is that the other side of that is this sense of like, I don't know how it just happens, which is kind of removing responsibility from ourselves for making that happen.
Right.
And so I kind of would prefer to have to evolve that myself. And I hope I have evolved that to say, you know, I always have more than I need. I have a lot of money affirmations that I do. I always have 10 times more than I need. I create. I'm a powerful creator. I create the wealth I need, those kinds of things. We also attract. I'm in harmony with a greater flow of abundance from the universe. So we very often attract money to ourselves. The story that I referred to that I think you're using as our title, when I was a child, I was doing some chores and I got paid a little bit of, money for the chores that I had done.
Right.
And we went away camping and there was a little gift shop at the place we went camping. And I went in there and I bought some books and some candy, you know, what like a 12-year-old buys.
Right.
And when I looked at the money that I had, which seemed like a lot of money, and then I looked at what I bought, they rang it up and it was like, that was, I thought, wow, that was all my money. Like, where did all my money go?
Right.
Now, you know, as you're saying, as you're suggesting, like there have been more times in my life when I've been like, dang, where'd all that money go?
So
I've definitely had that sense before. You know, I had a credit card when I was in college and I was like, what? How did this get so charged up so fast? So
I think every college student goes through that at some point because they make it really easy for college students to get credit cards to begin with. Oh, you're a college student here? We give you a credit card.
Way too easy.
Way too easy. With no education.
Exactly.
Here you go.
And I think the interesting thing about that is that kind of my response to that, because I'm an empowered person, is was to say, seems like I need to earn a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, if money's going to go fast, I'm like, I'm going to need a hell of a lot more money than I have now.
Right.
So I, you know, then that
that's
kind of,
in the solution, being in the solution, right?
I feel like that I'm very motivated. So yeah. I'm like, well, then let's just make a lot of money. So I'm definitely not a person who's about being frugal or, you know, not spending a lot. I have a huge risk tolerance for investment and for, you know, if somebody says, hey, let's go on this thing, it's going to be this. And, you know, I mean, I'm not doing a stupid thing like a Ponzi scheme or something like that, but I am, you know, I do study things, but I also feel like if I invest, $10,000 or even $100,000 in mentoring or study or bettering myself, I expect to see a return on that. And there's no part of me that says I probably won't see a return on that. This is a huge risk. We're probably never going to see that money again.
Yeah. So that's like an adaptation to what you grew up with. That belief is like, wow, this money goes really quickly. And, you know, we hear it all the time. People always say money likes speed, which is cool. So if it goes out fast, great. Then you make money fast. But yeah. So
that way we need to speed that way.
Right. And so everybody has their own money story that grows. At one point, though, however, there's probably a moment in your life where you said, you know, this something has to shift because this money thing is just really going out really good. Because at this point in time, you are adept at creating money flow. You help others do the same thing in all that you do with your consultation and your coaching and everything that you bring to the table. So where was that shift that happened where you said, you know, if money's going to go out this fast, then I just need to make money faster? You know,
I think the point at which my relationship with money changed, and this isn't a direct answer to your question, it's kind of a variation on the question.
Sure.
The first point where it changed was that I was married before, and making a lot of money, meaning we were young and had a lot of disposable income. So right. It wasn't necessarily like millions or zillions, but for a young couple, it was a lot of money so we could travel, we could do whatever we wanted. And, you know, I just basically look at that as like high disposable income mm-hmm. level with savings and all the stuff after that. Right. That when that marriage fell apart, mm-hmm. I think what happens for a lot of people that I talk to is there was an association now of like, now I still have a lot of money, but I don't have this thing that's key in my life. And I think it's very easy for us to have money associated with strong emotional incidents. Mm. So that if like our favorite grandma left us all this money, we have this warm feeling around it. But right. if we, in that case, lots of money when, you know, I wanted experience, you know, travel and fun and stuff like that. And I didn't want to have a bunch of money if I didn't have that piece of it. And so that was the beginning of my saying, I'm not interested in this without that. And, you know, years later, I'm super happily married and we have all of the good stuff that goes along with both money flow and love. But I think what's important is that I did have to go through a time period where I recognized, wow, there's a part of me that didn't want to bring in money because it meant there could be an end of love.
Right.
So I think those kinds of, you know, doing that level of work on mindset and seeing if a thing gets stuck in there is really super important.
Right.
Now, attached to that, very close in succession to that whole thing happening, I was at corporate and I had a wonderful mentor who was a finance person mm-hmm. who had come to work in the marketing department and was my colleague. And he taught me, like, I didn't know how to read a P&L. And so he would bring me this sheet of paper and I would say, I don't know where I look on it. And he was like, look at the bottom right. We had a subscription to the Wall Street Journal. I was like, I don't know what I'm looking at this thing. And so he said, here's what you need to read about in the Wall Street Journal. And just in general, just basic financial fluency mm-hmm. with business at that level. Those were things that he gave me so that I didn't feel like, well, I'm a humanities major. I don't really know any of this stuff. I'm not going to be somebody who's going to know this. I'm the marketing person who doesn't really follow the numbers.
Right.
I didn't want that. And so by the time I left that position and became an entrepreneur, I had a comfort with numbers that I hadn't had before.
Right.
And even though I had managed a $12 million a year budget,
right.
I had, you know, all of this stuff that I had responsibility for, I now had kind of comfort with the numbers. And then the third part of that is I would say when I was self-employed, and this is one of the things that I bring to all of my clients, I would say that if you leave the military, there are certain things that you know how to do. You know, you get up early, you shine your shoes, there are certain mm-hmm. disciplines that you have. Mm-hmm. And working corporate is a lot like the military.
Right.
So knowing your numbers is something you know in corporate, something I learned in corporate. And right. this is one of the things that I bring to my clients. Is I have a really simple spreadsheet that I give them where I say, use this to track your numbers. Mine is tracking exactly how much money I have made all throughout the year. It's how much money I am making so far this month. It's what's projected until year end. Mm-hmm. It's all my costs. Like that is a dashboard snapshot kind of thing of my finances. And that's the thing that I will bring to my clients because I hear from some of them, because a lot of my clients are women, and I hear them say, you know, I do better if I don't look at it. I earn more if I don't look at it. And I'm like, wow. Okay. So that might be true now, and I believe you, but the thing is that that's what your current comfort zone is. So very slowly,
right.
let's create a new comfort zone that involves you being deeply acquainted with these numbers. Because when you know them, you can, I mean, listen, mistakes happen all the time. $50,000 can, you know, go missing like that. I had a confusion over a $5,000 payment from several months ago that my client and I worked out via email, and I was like, I can't believe I the opposite of double counted, yeah. negative counted, a wow. payment. So there's just something that's so important about having this intimacy with your own numbers. And yeah. that's one of the things that I'm bringing to my clients. And I'm able to do that in a way because it's not my native language.
Right. Right.
You know, so able to do that in a way that makes it, I think, easy for them to grasp. But I would call that like the arc of my money journey and getting used to transforming my relationship with it.
Right. I love that answer. So thank you for that, because I mean, from there you talked about so many different facets of where you know, bad money stories and money anxiety kind of stem from. One, the emotion piece, you know, there's a part where you kind of, your internet kind of get kind of funky, but I think the gist of it was basically when you were talking about the grandma and the money and stuff like that, it's like there's an emotional attachment to it. So you kind of maybe are resistant to spend it, but after you spend it, the emotional piece is challenged, right? There's love with the money. And then also the education piece that you talked about, you know, having a basic fundamental knowledge of the fluency around it, right? And then just, and then basically the last part was about the discipline, right? Around just making sure that you continuously put your energy into money. And I like what you said out there by encouraging, say, oh, if I don't look at it, it's just better. It's, no, that's a money anxiety thing. That's you having anxiety, yeah, not wanting to work at the look at the money. But you know, same thing. I do the same thing with my students and clients, is that you got to have your energy in the money. Money will vibrate better with you uniquely because of your energy put into it. If you have someone else looking at your money, that's their energy in your money, yep, flow, in your life.
Yeah.
So yeah, which is going to be the choice that you make, right? And that's why people who, right, have too many people touching their money flow end up having this mediocre result, right? So I love that. That's a great answer. I know you were saying, well, it might be a roundabout way. No, that's a perfect arc.
Good. So, I think it's, you know, I think it's a classic, in some ways it's a classic journey. And I noticed that a lot of people have those kind of, stories where, yeah, there's a belief that gets formed without their permission or awareness necessarily, uh-huh, of like money leads to loss of love, or, you know, right, maybe money is happiness, you know, money means fun or, right, whatever. But what I always say is, like, at least bring it to your consciousness, because then you can be in charge.
Yeah, exactly. And you can change that story, right? I mean, we call it like a money hero story.
Right? Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah, which is that arc that goes through. It's like you start off with the challenge. You're like the Luke Skywalker that's out there in the barren lands of I don't know where. And then you go through this journey of becoming the money Jedi.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And everybody can do that, I think, you know. So
I think so.
So now that you've gone through that, you now help people kind of navigate through those challenges as well. You've probably seen a whole wide array of money stories with your clients and your students and everything, because a lot of what you do is about helping them make more money, right?
Yeah.
So, yes. So let's definitely talk a little bit about what Enlightened Marketing does.
Well, I think the two key words of what I do are profitability and joy. Mm-hmm. So I work with mostly women consultants and, mm-hmm, experts, and we, as you said, they're oftentimes too busy to grow. So what that means is that they're packed with work. Their business is theoretically thriving, but they're kind of strangled by the amount of work they have. And, mm-hmm, they think, if I wanted to double my revenues, I would die because there isn't anywhere for this to go. Right. And so what I do is I transform the business model so that they're earning that money in a different way, doing different work, and they're experiencing more joy in the business. So they're not exhausted. Mm-hmm. They're not overwhelmed. And a lot of times they're able to work with more perfect clients, those who are a better fit for them. And they're definitely always able to charge more. So my clients increase prices from, you know, a minimum of doubling, mm-hmm, to, you know, nine times. I mean, just, you know, crazy amounts when we look at what they're doing. But it's very often it's because I don't let them sell by the hour anymore. Like, right, a lot of people are earning by the hour. And so when we start working together, I change the business model so that they're, yeah, not doing an hourly model anymore. They're doing programs and engagements and signature, right, systems and things like that, so that their hourly, you know, their hourly rate dramatically increases. But again, to me, it's partially about the joy, and it's partial, I mean, the profitability, but it's also, yeah, about the joy of being able to do what you love for clients you love. Right. Just having a funner time. It should feel, you know, light and energizing as opposed to crushingly difficult. And
exactly.
The other piece, yeah, and is that a, you know, it's totally, is that an idea we could all get behind?
No, I know. And what I love what you're saying is that we do the same thing. We get people off the hourly thing. Okay. So if anybody's listening right now and you're still doing the hourly thing and you're a coach, consultant, entrepreneur, service provider, that is an old paradigm. Get rid of it. Figure it out. If you can't figure it out, reach out to Samantha. She can help you figure it out. Get rid of that whole hourly thing all the time. I mean, none of my students and clients, are doing any of that anymore because it's just an old paradigm that doesn't work anymore. Because we know if it, hourly is, if you can do something where you can fix them in one session, then fine, charge hourly.
Yeah. But it should be huge because you're fixing them forever.
I know.
It's a terrible business model.
I know. It is. We call it the extinction model. Stop charging hourly. Start doing programs and packages in a way where they buy the package and it gets them the solution, right? And that's a lot of what you helped me kind of realize as well when just kind of going through the stuff that you know, that the prep work to do the lead generation program that I did years ago. I don't even know when that was anymore. That was... That was a long time ago. But anyway.
I know, we've known each other a long time.
Yeah. You know, we were just talking about it. I was like, I felt like I just saw you yesterday. No, it was like a few years ago.
I'm like, it was months. It was months ago. It was like the last time it was warm.
I know.
No, I think that may have been 2 warms ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 warms ago. So the joy
so the
piece.
The other thing I want to point out is, and the reason I call the business Enlightened Marketing is,
Wait, hold on.
I want to meet.
Okay, wait, do it again because you were you were jittering up for a second.
We have to say, it's not that I can't afford good internet. I live on an island and I have the highest speed internet that is available here. Yeah. So sometimes, apparently.
She actually takes all of her revenue into her internet.
All of it.
All of it. She leaves 10% for everything else.
You can totally tell. So I called the business Enlightened Marketing because I had a marketing textbook. I never studied at business school, but I bought a marketing textbook to read. It was, you know, Marketing 101 or whatever by Philip Kotler. And there was a term in there called Enlightened Marketing. And it was the philosophy that says that marketing should serve not just the company and its shareholders, but all the constituents that should kind of what I would paraphrase it to mean is in the highest good of all concerned. So it's good for the company and the shareholders, but also for the customers and the community and the manufacturers and like everybody who's involved in it. And I was like, wow, what a concept. Like we have to have the thing. Exactly. It's like, don't screw people over, baby.
Right.
And we still don't do that. So I loved the term Enlightened Marketing and I called my company that. And what I mean when I say it for my clients is that it's effective marketing that aligns with your values.
Right.
Because I'm not interested in things that don't work. I want it to work and I want to prove that it works by using it on myself. I test stuff myself and for my clients. And also that it aligns with your values. So if people are like, I do not feel good about, you know, you name it, it might be social media. Well, I can show you how to grow your business without involving social media or I'm shy and I never want to leave my house. I'm like, we can find a way to grow your business that doesn't involve, you know, having to be extroverted and big personality. Yeah. So to me, that said what I want to do with my business. And the way that it has evolved lately is I've one of the things that I teach my clients to do right now that I think is a more exciting way to work and is a thing that leads to these super high ticket offers that you can do is I've transitioned to more of a partnership model. So how I would put this is that there are transactional things you can do, like the person who solves the problem in one hour or give them a course. A lot of my clients would do short-term engagements with their clients, or they would do short programs. Mm-hmm. And what I find now is that people want transformation. Mm-hmm. So it used to be kind of scary to talk about transformation of like, well, I don't want that much.
That's too much woo. It's like, wow.
Better. Right. And I think what happens now is that there's more people are transitioning from a transactional model to a transformational model. And so my clients are those who are going into organizations and saying, you know, I can come in and do this, like, you know, 3-month program. I can put in place this kind of like 4-month strategic plan for you. But what if we were able to promise you that over the next 12 months, I will stay with you until we realize these milestones, until we achieve these things. What would that be worth?
Right.
And then you get the client to say, well, we think that would be like $1 million. And then you say, well, then here's what the fee would be. The investment from the client would be this much. And since that's the thing that I'm helping my clients to do, and that's leading to these, you know, way higher offers. And I can give some examples of those. But it's, here's what's exciting about that is it's not just a bunch more money. It's the enlightened marketing, good for everybody kind of concept. It's good for the client because they're like, oh, you're actually on the hook. You're going to stay with us. You're not going to disappear after 4 months and hope it works out for us. You're going to be here for us so that we do achieve those milestones.
Right.
It's good for the people who are in those companies because things are going to transform for them, usually for the much, much, much better.
Right.
A lot of my clients are in the people business, so they're in leadership or HR and things like that. So they're changing lives with that. Obviously, you, the consultant, make a boatload more money because this transformation model is about doing not necessarily more work. I'm a believer not in more work, but smarter work.
Right.
But you make more money for that. You're more rewarded for the things that you're doing. And this is my favorite piece of it, is the joy factor in it is that when you look at something like that, very often the expert says, I think I know how to do that. But I mean, I'm like, I don't know. I wonder how exactly we would do that. And then they're like, it becomes this exciting intellectual challenge for them. It becomes this thing that they're like, I'm excited to go in there and work with them and achieve this result. Mm. And for my clients, that's super thrilling for them. Because you're not going to be able to cut and run after 4 months and be like, hope that works out. Bye.
Right.
And you're going to be like, I'm going to stay with you. And when they come in and they're like, well, here's the things that aren't working. You get to say, wow, that's interesting. Let's make it work.
Right. So what this has done then is this has allowed your clients and your students to be able to kind of really up-level the amount of money that they bring in. Now, what about the concerns about, it's like, okay, so if I am with one client this whole entire year, how many, what's my bandwidth then? Or do I just charge more to compensate for the fact that I'm not seeing as many people or not helping as many companies or businesses or individuals as I usually do?
So there's just tons of beliefs contained in that. Uh-huh. And so the first thing I would say is let's acknowledge that there are a bunch of beliefs contained in that. So in many cases, I find that my clients are able with the same amount of hours to do that work. It's just that they spread it out over time. They structure it differently so that the clients are doing some of the, pulling some of the, the effort themselves.
Sure.
So you also have, you can do a $15,000 project or you can do a $150,000 project. Mm-hmm. So one of my clients, she's a CFO to go, basically. Uh-huh. So she does for companies who are like too small to have a full-time CFO and large enough that they've kind of outgrown a bookkeeper accountant. She is kind of their outsourced CFO. And she went from charging, $15,000 per engagement to 50 and 60. And in the past like 3 months, she has closed 144,000 from three clients.
Wow.
So she's doing work that she super loves. And these are way better clients. Because when I first started working with her, she was working with a lot of clients who were still too small.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with being small. But what I mean is they couldn't receive the fullness of her gifts.
Right.
So now she's working with right-sized clients who really need exactly what she does. So which they so appreciate her because they're like, oh, my God, like we now see that we couldn't have done that without you and your level of gifts. And she's being super, super compensated. So she and I are working on scale, meaning bringing in team to supplement that. But I have another client who's doing, he'll do 250 to 350 this year. And we're working on a plan to get him to a million. And he doesn't want team. He doesn't want to have anybody there doing that with him. So we just do the math differently.
Just him himself. He wants to be the solopreneur. Yes. Oh, okay.
Absolutely. He wants to just be a one person company, which is fine. So we'll just structure the work differently. But it doesn't, here's what I always ask people if they're like, one of the promises that I make is you can add 100K to your business. So if you and I were working together and you said, I want to add 100K, I would say, okay, can you add it in a single client? So for some people I ask that question to, they think, yeah, I totally can. So then I go, okay, well, let's figure out who that client is and let's go get them. What's the client? What's the offer? What's the problem? What's broken with them? What's the solution? Let's put that together and then let's go get a client.
Right.
Easy, right?
I like that.
So for some people they say, oh, I mean, no, I mean, I can't do something that's one times 100. I'm like, okay, so how about 2 times 50? So sometimes they'll go, all right, 4 times 25. Yes. So instead of saying, I'm going to do what I do for $125 an hour times what does it take to get to $100,000?
Right.
Like that's exhausting. That's what's debilitating and exhausting.
I mean, you're burnt out before you even start, basically.
Exactly. And this is to me where most people are when they come to me is they're like, I can't grow.
Mm.
I'm stuck because this is all I can do.
It's just the business model is bunk.
It's the business model. Yeah. They have painted themselves into a corner successfully. So almost all my clients are earning you know, they've been in business for, you know, 1 to 3 years, sometimes five, they're earning, you know, 150 to, you know, sometimes 2 million. But the commonality very often is we can't get to where we want to go doing it the way we're doing it. So something has got to change.
Yeah. I don't know why we haven't actually partnered up and made a strategic alliance, because, I mean, the Six Figure Academy is all about 100K plus, isn't it?
Fantastic.
I know. And so let me ask you this, is that, okay, so how much of that pushback have you recognized now that it's sometimes a bad money story that's running, where they have this belief system that they haven't mm-hmm. been able to, you say 100K and they're like viscerally like start to lock up a little bit, or you can hear it in their voice that they tighten up and stuff like that. I mean, how often have you seen that show up in the work that you do?
I see it, but people need to be able to work through it and walk through it. Well, I always, you know, describe these kind of limitations as it's like a murky, you know, mud puddle or stream or whatever. It's mm-hmm. like sometimes you need to pass through the murky thing, but don't like sit down.
Right.
So if somebody sits down in that belief, it's, you know,
hold on.
Solve that belief. My gift is.
Okay, start that again. Okay, so if someone sits down that belief.
It is not. Yeah, I'm like, you need to get over yourself. So I do have wonderfully gifted people that I work with that I will refer people to for mm-hmm. working on those limiting beliefs. And, mm-hmm. you know, I will sit down a lot of times with my clients. You know, there are so many ways you can work on those beliefs. And a lot of times, the funny thing is I just don't have those beliefs. And right. I don't know why, but I mean, obviously everybody has limiting beliefs, and I have some and I'll bump up against them. But to me, when somebody says, I don't think I can charge $100,000, I just don't believe them. Right. Or if they say, well, my people, I just posted about this on LinkedIn today. Well, in my industry, they're not doing it that way. I'm like,
okay, then do something
different.
Somebody's
doing it that way. Yeah. First of all, who cares?
Who cares?
And
right?
Second of all, I'm like, what if you're doing it that way? The one thing I can say very often, and I try not to play this card too often, but as women, very often we can point to a man who's doing it this way. Mm. And that super pisses me off for my tribe.
Right.
So I really want women to say, well, are there dudes out there doing this? Yes. Are they as good at what they do as you are? Probably not. So,
right.
You know, I really want, if that inflames someone, I hope we can use that kind of, because that motivates me. It right. motivates me on behalf of my clients.
Right.
Make your own economy, make your own glass ceiling breaker, yeah. You know, make your own, you know, I don't care what anybody else gets paid, because I can be in charge of what I make. And I want my right. clients who come to me to do that. So sometimes, and they will often tell me this, like, I want to believe, and I'm 85% of the way there, that uh-huh. I could charge those numbers. And then we just do it.
Yeah.
So often they will 10x what they're doing. I worked with a client who's, a photographer, this amazing portrait photographer, and uh-huh. her program was like, the most she'd charged was 2,500 to 5,000. And in working with me, she launched a 25K program, you know, got two people into it like that. So
wow.
you can do an immediate 5X. The client that I just told you about, the CFO, had been doing these 5 and 15s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was basically just a little bit of the belief, and this is the beauty of it, and was doing it with clients who didn't super appreciate her. So
right.
it was just a little bit of the belief that we could flip it over to here. So here's another mini case study. I worked with a woman consultant who had was very close to making $1 million last year. Like a payment fell into January. It's the only reason that it didn't end up being a seven-figure year for her.
Right.
So when she came to me, she called me and said, I want to sit down with you and talk about a thing that's going on. What it turned out was she had done a lot of consultants do these short-term projects, like we'll assess, and then that will lead to a longer-term project. So that's a kind of a classic consulting model. You go
sure.
in and do a small thing, and then you sell in a larger thing.
Right.
So they'd gone in and done the small thing, and that was a $250,000 engagement.
Uh-huh.
And what they're going to do in here is figure out, you know, where we can save, where we can earn, what we can do, and stuff like that. So, from that engagement, she went in with her team. They worked like 3 months. And at the end of that, everybody in that engagement made money except for her. She made zero. The
oh,
profit
wow.
on that engagement, meaning not just profit, but actually the money she should have paid to herself, was zero. So I was like, we don't do that anymore.
No.
Let's talk about how you're structuring this stuff. Because I could go into all of the details of what was wrong, but she undercharged the client. She overpaid people. Wow. She was very conscious of taking care of everybody else, and right. she was not taking care of them. So whatever, that won't happen again.
Right.
What her next questions were was that client was like, we love it, let's do it. And now she was proposing what she was going to take to them. So we did a VIP day in New York where we sat down the first day and talked about, we met the first day and then we went away. I always go away and we integrate and walk around and
right.
go to lunch and right. she can go and get a massage or whatever. And then we come back the second day and we kind of reconvene and do more work on the second day.
Yeah.
So I said to her, she wanted to bid 400-ish. It was a very complex the way she'd set it out. I said, it's way too complex the way you're pricing and organizing this whole thing, pricing and packaging. This thing is a mess. She wanted to bid 400. I said, here's what I think. And it was just roughly speaking, 800. She's an action taker. She wrote the client that night. The client said, oh, I think you're right. So by the next morning, she'd made $400,000.
Nice.
It can be that simple. If you're undervaluing yourself and you can make a case for why the value is this as opposed to that, you can get paid more. So it doesn't have to, I think that's the fastest I've made someone $400,000, but
right. That's great.
It can be made that way. I can tell you a $600,000 story. This is the 5X. Had a client who came to me. She's a new consultant,
uh-huh.
very experienced COO,
uh-huh.
Famous in her niche. A lot of my clients are famous in their niche, meaning you or I wouldn't know who they are, but their people know who they are.
Right.
So she's famous in her niche. She did about 150 her first year consulting with three clients. Had a couple of clients who didn't really respect her. She kind of had a hard time working with them, didn't love that work.
Yeah.
This was a lot of hourly work.
Ugh.
It takes a lot of hours piled up to get to 150,000.
Yeah.
So anyway, she said, I have a vision that I should be doing 2 million in my business. And I learned about her business and I said, oh, I believe you. I totally believe you. So in the first year we transformed the business model. I was like, this is not how you make money. This is how you make money. This is how you talk about what you do. And this is how you sell it in. So when you're presenting what you do to the client, this is what you say in order for them to say, oh yes, yes, we definitely need that. So in her first year, she added 600,000. So she went from 150 to 750, which is a 5X.
Nice.
So, and she and I work together to this day. She's on her way to her 2 million and having a great time.
Awesome. Congratulations on that. That's some really good work, actually. So let's talk about that, the piece right there. I think one of the big nuggets right there is the key thing about being able to communicate what it is that you do clearly. Because for anybody to be, any company, business, or individual to be willing to put out that kind of money, they have to be crystal clear on their end about what exactly you're going to do. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with this, in terms of just being very clear about, they like to talk these nebulous broad terms. So can you share a little bit about how you get people to get away from that, in terms of being able to communicate their value?
I'm going to unpack one thing that you asked, because you said that in order to for those companies to pay that kind of money or those clients to pay that kind of money, they have to be crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is we have to be crystal clear on what that value is, because they actually don't.
Right.
There's a lot of people who will buy on a gut feel.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are like, yeah, I work with large companies and they don't buy on gut feel. And I'm like,
the decision makers are human, right?
Decision makers are human. Who works at companies are people. And the person that you're working with, all they need is to believe. They just need to believe you. And a lot of the time, you believing you is key. So this is where it's really important. This is why I say clarity. You need to be super clear on your value.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're saying, I'll be honest with you, I've never done a project like this before. And I've done this and this and this and this, but I've never done this. And that's why I'm going to package it this way and I'm going to price it this way. I mean, I've said things as crazy as that and gotten project work. So
mm-hmm.
what I would say is it is correct. You are correct in saying that they need to understand what's mm-hmm. going to happen. So I was just actually chatting in Messenger today with somebody who said, oh, I saw the $144,000 story from three clients that I posted on my Facebook profile. He said, I saw that. And that's just like, he said, that just blows my mind. I can't even imagine. And who do you work with and how do you get clients who want something that like that? And I said, I told him a little of the background on it. And he said, oh, I see. So what the thing is that I say, I help increase conversions. And I was like, see, that doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Right.
We have to connect the dots for the client. So it's important that we say, and I have, you know, features and benefits is the thing we talk about all the time. So here's what I will do. I try not to talk about process very much, but, and which means that for your organization. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to teach my clients, for example, how to answer the question, what do you do, in 1 minute or less, so that people are very clear on the value they bring, which means that, you know, you'll be able to get attention quickly with your message. You'll get more referrals because other people will understand what you do, including your clients who maybe before have been like, I don't know what she does, but it's good. Well, that doesn't help you get clients, right? Get referrals.
I ran a company like that once, and people would show up and they would try to refer, but every time they refer, they said, they do a lot. Just go there.
Exactly. That's not helpful. I had a client who did something like Reiki, and they said it's a buzzy thing, but you need it. And I'd be like, nobody wants that. So what's really critical, and I have I have a case study that I'd love to share with your listeners, because I think I really super break down the thing that I'm explaining right now, which is when we say I'm going to do a sales training, we think they hear, and therefore my people will be able to sell better. And that means my sales will increase and I'll have this money and we'll have this profitability and we'll lessen turnover because the sales will be frustrated. You know, they hear that. Sales training.
Hold on. There'll be less turnover if what?
Well, if you have people who know how to sell,
yeah,
then they're going to be less frustrated and they won't quit.
Right.
So even though you say, I mean, this is very often somebody will come in and they say, oh, I do a sales training. And they think the person they're talking to hears, oh, and that means all of these benefits.
Right.
That person doesn't hear that. They hear sales training and they think, I don't think that's what I need. Right. And so then this person is like, well, sales training, you know, it's only 3 hours and I got this, whatever.
It's
and then
the process.
We talk all about our methodology. Yes, exactly. And we're psyched about that process. You know, I'm a Sandler authorized sales trainer, or we'll start just dropping all this stuff that we think is impressive to us, where they need to know, what does your sales training mean to me? What will it do for me? Right. And this is where I use the, which means that you will. And then we can tell them what will they be able to be, do, or have as a result of having done the sales training.
Right.
So when you do that, not always, but often when you do that, that'll begin to create in their mind an expectation. And what I'm specifically looking to do is look at the investment that I want to charge and make it sound like, compared to the value they're getting, the investment is very low.
Right.
That's the key to this is to be able to, and also to get involved in their business results.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to go there. So I always say that transactional is working for you. That is great. Keep doing your trainings and your other stuff. Mm-hmm. People who should be doing transformation and who are seeking, who want to do 100K offers or 250K offers or $1 million offers, whatever is your number. If you want to do, if you feel like you should be charging, you know, 2 to 10 times more for what you're doing than what you are doing, think about how it can bring them 10 times more value, 2 to 10 times more value. This is one thing, is that a lot of people are like, make sure that you bring them 10 times more value. A lot of times people will give you $1 to make $5.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't have, right. I don't think it has to be a 10X kind of a thing.
Right. Right.
It should be good value.
I mean, if it's at least 3 times the value, even 3 times the value is plenty. I mean, it's like, that's
too.
A good investment.
I think so too.
Yeah,
exactly. I would definitely pay $25,000 to make $100,000.
Right.
If, and we talked about this in the beginning, they don't need to know exactly how they're going to do it. They need to believe that you can help them get those results. And one of the things I teach is for my clients to have case studies of how they've done it before. Case studies and success stories.
Sure.
So some of the stories I've been sharing before.
Social proof.
I have done it before, and I've done it for someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
That's super helpful.
Yeah, no, totally. And so you did mention, like, you know, whether you take a $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 offer, even $1 million offer. Out of curiosity, what does $1 million offer look like to you? I mean, obviously, from a corporate standpoint, you could do something like multi-million dollars, because they do this all the time in Fortune 50, 100 companies, right?
Yeah.
Or 500 even, right? So, but from someone who is, like, say, currently bringing in 6 figures, maybe 7 figures a year, how do they, what would something that like that look like to make $1 million offer?
I mean, I've known people who had million-dollar offers, and they're usually doing it for larger companies. So okay. if you're going to make make a million, you're going to probably want to make someone, you know, 5 to 10 million. So you only need to be able to be work. I mean, only because $5 and $10 million isn't that much money to a large company.
Sure.
Right. I told you I had a $12 million marketing budget. I was working on $100 million a year company.
Right.
So for that company, bringing in $10 million wasn't super consequential. Mm-hmm. So if it's possible that a lot of us, you know, my clients are the largest of my clients. I don't like to work with companies that are over 8 to 10 million because then I'm no longer working with the primary person in the company.
Right.
So it's possible that for some of us that wouldn't be a factor. But it's also possible that so one of the ways I've talked about you can have a 100K offer is that you have 2 times 50 or 4 times 25. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of people who are saying I want to add 100K and I want to do it with I'm going to do an event and it's going to be charged $10,000 a person. My program is $10,000 a person, so that's how they can add it. So if I were going to do a $1 million offer, first of all, I would say if you did it in a single offer, you know, you would have one client who's paying $1 million. Well, that's $83,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would look at the discipline of like, let's start drilling down to what that actually is. Mm-hmm. Are you going to work alone? Are you going to have a team? Like, what's the thing that you could do for a client who's paying this? What kind of client would pay that kind of money? What would they pay that for? Mm-hmm. So it helps, you know, when you start asking specific questions like that, it really helps because you start going, well, it's a company. It's probably a client that is either a startup mm-hmm. or is already earning $10 million a year. So I'm in Massachusetts. I'm very near Boston, and there's zillions of startups right now doing all kinds of cool stuff.
Wow.
So if you came in and you did a total sales and marketing infrastructure for them, I can imagine them paying $83,000 a month for that.
Wow.
Cool. Right?
Yeah.
So let's, you know, we just start kind of getting more specific about right. things. I could also say that was if I wanted to bring in $1 million with a single offer, I could do a program where it was $100,000 per person to attend and get 10 people to attend it.
Right.
So wow. that isn't crazy. I think everybody in our circles knows of someone who charged $100,000 a year or charges $100,000 a year for mm-hmm. their mentoring or mastermind program.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so what it comes down to is what you do is you basically look at their current business model and you basically show them how they can take what they're currently doing, maybe add a few bells and whistles, but then because you just change the structure of how the business is packaged and then you create a new system of prosperity, basically, a new system of how they can actually create more results in 10x or 10x, 5x or 10x their business.
Yep. So I look at who they should be working with, who's mm-hmm. a perfect client for them. Mm-hmm. And for many people, that's next level clients.
Right.
Sometimes it's people they've been working with before, but they haven't done this depth of work with them. Mm-hmm. We look at what's broken for those clients and what value we could bring to them. And we create right. an offer that sounds like that.
Right.
The next thing we need to look at is if I recently wrote about my client, Carrie, who has a $250,000 a year business and wants to have a million dollar a year business, sure. not uncommon. A lot of my clients do. Uh-huh. So right now she's known for this. And if she wants to have $1 million a year business without, you know, working four times harder, mm-hmm. then she needs to be known for this. Mm-hmm. So what is she known for? So that's brand.
Right. So
your brand is the unique identity for your business, and what right. you are known for tells people how much you charge. If she's known for I just do these transactional programs down right. here, then that's not going to. She can certainly get there, but I think it's harder work than if she begins to be known for transformational results, and then she can get there with, you know, more ease.
Right. So someone that wants to. So how involved are you with your clients in terms of? I mean, do you talk to them once a week? Do you talk to them as needed, and how involved are you with their day-to-day type of activities? You know,
I mean, the short version is because I have clients who work with me in a varying degrees. I have some who come through a course with me and learn to create a 100K offer and learn mm-hmm. to sell it in. And that's a certain level of interaction. And then I have, clients with whom I'm a partner and I mm-hmm. Work with them as what I say is as much as it takes. People are like, oh, 100K offer. Do you have 100K clients? And I'm like, yes. So clients who pay me 100K and they're like, well, how much do you work with them? I'm like, as much as it takes,
right?
You know,
right.
as much as it takes. here's what I would say is when, if for people who fear like I would be immersed and consumed in that, I would have no life. I'm like, well, then you have to have really good boundaries. The thing to develop are the skills you have in your work. So it's maybe not the first place to begin. But what I noticed is I've been in business now for 18 years and I began to transition to this model, you know, about halfway through.
Right.
My clients are busy. So I'm not working with them all day, every day.
Right.
They also implement. So they can come to me and say, hey, we talked about this. I did that. And then this happened. And I don't think that's what we wanted. And I say, do this. And they're like, okay, bye.
Right.
So I will sometimes talk to them. You know, they'll text me and say, I'm about to go into the meeting with this client. And I just had one question for you. I'll hop on the call with them for 5 minutes. And then they go in and they close a, you know, 150K engagement. Nice. That's, you know, I want to be here that for my clients. Mm-hmm. To be able to help them achieve those results. And that isn't too much. That's not too much interaction for me. And if I have somebody who's like, okay, everybody's getting a little needy, let's sit back and see what's going on. And then we kind of just revisit that. So, you know, the short answer is as much as it takes. The longer answer is,
depending on the level of engagement.
People are self-responsible. My clients are self-responsible and I don't want them to outsource their insight to me. I don't want them to outsource their wisdom to me. I want them to begin to develop it and not be codependent.
Yeah, no, so very cool. And it shows too. I mean, being in business for 18 years and plus not including all the time you spent before that, in all the other corporate entities that you were involved with. And but so what I'd like to do is wait till you catch up with your internet real quick. What I'd like to do is...
You're going fine. I hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is, since there's only 9 minutes left, I want to make sure that people... Because for sure, if people have been paying attention, people have been listening, the audience is listening. Undoubtedly, somebody's going to get excited. I'm getting excited listening to all the things that you're talking about. So if I'm getting excited... Absolutely. Some of the audience members are too. And they're curious about how do they self-identify? Do they fit the profile of someone that can work with you, whether in one of your programs and everything like that? Can you share a little bit about, you know, who the ideal person, if they're listening to this, is? Should I even bother reaching out? Should I bother calling her? Because it sounds like she works with really high net worth individuals and maybe I'm not there yet. How do I get some of the goodness that Samantha has to offer, but I'm just starting my business, or I've only been in business for 2 years or something like that? How do people do this?
The criteria that I use is at least 1 year in business, at least 150 in revenues, with at least 3 clients. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean I don't welcome you into my world, and I'd be excited to. We have a Facebook group. You can friend me on Facebook and LinkedIn, and connect with me on social media and all of that kind of stuff. And what's really interesting is a lot of the people who I'm working with now in partnership model I met when they were brand new, and they said, what should I do to start? And I said, here's 3 free resources. And they did those. And then they came to me and they'd had that 3 clients, 150, et cetera. So, a lot of the stuff that I do isn't, you know, it's not the starting place for most people. So that's why those are my criteria for accepting, clients.
Nice.
Now, do you have to have a high ticket offer? Do you have to have anything? What I would say is, it would be very important to me that you get great results for your clients.
Right.
And that you've had a history of getting results for your clients. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest, my first few years in business, I'm not going to say how many, but my clients didn't get results. So I was not good at client selection. I worked with these big, a lot of my first clients were through connections from the Coca-Cola company. Sure. And so I was working with big clients. They don't implement. They don't give a crap. They pay the money. Sucks. If it gets implemented, they're like, dude, we checked a box. We don't really care. So I would go back to them and they'd be like, we moved on to another priority. So my small clients that I began to work with then, they wouldn't implement either. I couldn't figure out why. They didn't blame me. They were like, we loved it. And we, you know, so I only say that to say, it's really important to learn how to help your clients get results. Right. And that's not easy. You know, I mean, I'm finally at a point where I'm able to share these great success stories. And I'm able to, if somebody's like, I'm doing this and I'm not getting results, I'm like, let's talk.
Yeah.
Had a client that I worked with who was thinking of continuing with me in another year and said, well, but I have to be honest, I didn't get any results. I didn't get the results that I was looking for. It wasn't none. It just wasn't what she was looking for. And I said, why do you think that was? And a lot of people, including a former version of me, would not feel comfortable asking that question because we would think that she was about to say, because you didn't do it or you didn't help. And so I said, why do you think that was? And she said, because I didn't own the marketing. And I said, so what do you think you can do differently? And she said, I need to own it. I was afraid of that. I need to be differently in my business. And she's had stellar results this year working.
I think that in itself is a result. The fact that you went all the way up to that point, no results, and you asked that one poignant question, and that gave all the results needed for that 1 year.
It's totally shifted everything. It was really amazing. And so that's a hardworking client who really implements. Yeah. So I don't want to scare people off because that I'm mean or confrontational or anything like that.
I don't think so at all. I mean, they're used to me. I'm pretty confrontational. So
exactly. So yeah, it's tough love. And so I would say, for those who feel like I'm ready to earn way more, I'm ready to work less. I feel like some of my clients are not the best fit for me. I know I can do deeper, higher level work, but I'm just not sure how to position that, how to get those clients, how to do that transition. That would be a great fit for me.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people in my circle because I focus just primarily on those bad money stories, that money anxiety piece that I can basically, if I could find someone like you to just pawn off and say, okay, now I'll take them to six figures because now they don't have to deal with that money story. I think that'd be kind of a nice little handoff here. I don't know why I didn't think of it before because I don't know, whatever. But anyway, so.
I don't know either. It's too obvious. When people are around you, you're like, oh, and I mean, I think I love the specialization in the money store because it's so powerful. And if that's solved, look how, or at least if there's huge consciousness around that, like imagine how easy the piece I do is.
Oh, yeah. And the stress and anxiety just goes away and you just focus on doing what you're here to do. And restructuring your business and marketing, all that, so you can step up and own it without the whole money thing going, being
exactly, exactly.
So
well,
great.
There is
so,
a new level, new devil. Something will catch you once you get there. But the skills that the skills that you're using at that level are going to transition when I open up my seven figure.
Oh yeah, I mean every time there's a new financial big leap, there's a new level of anxiety that shows up. But if you have the protocols in place, you already have the fundamentals of understanding how to tackle it. It's fine.
Yep.
It's totally good.
Awesome.
So this is so cool. I wish we had more time actually, because it's been a while and we need to catch up more. And so hopefully you stick around a little bit after so we can debrief and everything like that. But how do someone who is ready to go, you're in business, 150,000 or more in business, and they have at least three clients and stuff like that, and they're really to up level their business, take it to the next level with more freedom and more money. How do they reach out to you? What's the best way for them to connect with you?
I would connect with me on LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, just send me a private message. Let me know you heard me on this show, on the Money Lab, and we can make an appointment. You can go directly and make an appointment with me at talkwithsamantha.com. That'll get you a link on my calendar. And then, and I have a free gift for anybody who feels like, I don't know, I need to know more.
Ooh, free gift. Okay, cool. What's the free gift?
So the free gift is, I've been telling you, when we were talking about like the salespeople and the sales training and how you sometimes have to connect the dots. So I had a client that I worked with named Danny. She'd also, a lot of my clients are ex-corporate. People don't have to be ex-corporate, but just for some reason, a lot of them are. So they're used to making six figures, but in salary. And so then when it's time to make six figures in revenue, for some reason, that translation doesn't always happen.
Right. Lost in translation.
But So So Danny came to me. She was trying to sell in trainings because she had done it corporate and nobody would buy them. She couldn't figure out why. And she said, I keep trying to sell this training. I said, how are you presenting it? She told me how. It was $22,000. I was like, well, that's not how you present it at all. We need to repackage this so that it makes some sense to people. She had a meeting with a client and she went in and was able to sell it in for 9 times the price.
Wow.
So how? It's a whole case study. So that is at the 9xyesformula.com. So the 9xyesformula.com. So we'll probably put that in the show notes so that's easier to.
Yeah, I put that in the comments on Spreaker.
Spreaker.
Yeah. So it's HTTP. HTTP. The 9x. The number 9.
So it's the, T-H-E, and then 9, the number 9X, because she 9 times did. Yes, so the client said, formula.com.
Boom. Okay, it's posted. And then we'll probably post this in the comments over at YouTube, post it in the blog once it's posted and everything like that. So it's all there. So super cool. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's going to be, I mean, I love the stories because I'm a big storyteller myself, and stories tell so much more than just bullet point and everything. Now, there are people who are bullet point people, but most of us, you know, goes back, takes us back to our childhood. Ooh, story time. But then it allows us to connect and extract from the knowledge, the way we, what we need from it, you know, and everything. So awesome. Well, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that as time goes on, we'll probably have you back again, because there's so much in the repository of Samantha Hartley's mind and her experiences and everything. I'm so happy that we finally are able to get you on the show and everything. I really look forward to seeing where this goes and people who can take advantage of all this. So remember, you connect with Samantha Hartley on LinkedIn, Samantha Hartley at LinkedIn, or you can go to talkwithsamantha.com and schedule a time to just schedule a time to talk with her, or you could take advantage of her generous free gift called the 9xyesformula.com and learn how she helps somebody very quickly 9x their offer, taking 22,000 to 9 times that amount,
which is 198,500.
Super awesome. That's 6 figures in one fell swoop. I love it. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Samantha. You know, like I said, maybe next time you come out, we can figure out a time. If you come out, I happen to be here on a Tuesday, we can have you here live in the studio so that we can have you be here without having to deal with Obama sucking up all the bandwidth over at Martha's Vineyard right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So island life.
All right, island lifestyle. So it's not so bad, you know, except that, you know, internet. But eventually, I'm sure they're going to fix all that too.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So if you can stick around afterward to debrief a little bit, I would love that, so we can kind of talk a little bit about next steps. But that's pretty much our show for the week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you found this show, this episode, to be valuable and know of someone else that could benefit from what we talked about today, totally share it. Review us on iTunes, Spreaker, like the episode on YouTube, and we're finally on Spotify now as well. And did you know we even have a Facebook group called The Money Lab, and where I'll probably be posting some of these links as well so that you can take advantage of the gift. Join us there to dive even deeper into bad money story elimination strategies. Okay, so that's a wrap. Take this week to apply the knowledge from today. Have an amazing week. We'll catch you next week on the Money Lab Live podcast, where we'll have a dynamo real estate duo team, Michelle Assetta and Lauren Weber of Weber Assetta Real Estate. This is Wei from the Six Figure Academy and Samantha Hartley, founder of Enlightened Marketing, signing off. Money makes a world. Your money make a world.